Our scriptures today are from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, Romans 12, verse 13, and then finally Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, words from Jesus. Hear now God's word. Let us pray together. O Lord, open our hearts, open our lives, and open our homes to your word and to following your word. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Then from Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints, that is to fellow believers, and seek to show hospitality. And then finally, from the words of Jesus, a direction that Jesus gives us from a larger teaching on hospitality and reaching out to the least, the last, the lost. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 14, Luke's Gospel. Jesus says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. The gospel is not simply about saving us from sin, although it is about saving us from sin. Nor is the gospel even about saving us from sin and bringing us into eternal life, although it is about saving us from sin and bringing us into eternal life. But essential to the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, also is God's invitation for us to come home, to be saved from our sin, truly to repent and turn to the Lord, to be delivered by the power of God's Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, to new life in Christ, and in that new life, to be invited into God's house, God's home. God invites us into his home. The Lord Jesus doesn't simply say, go out there and be my disciples, and that's it. Instead, in addition to that, in the midst of that, he says, I will be with you always, and in fact, I invite you, Jesus says, to my table. Now, do any of us deserve to be in communion with Jesus at his table? No. But Jesus is so graciously hospitable that people who, there's no way, if the angels made a list of folks that Jesus should be inviting to his heavenly divine feast, that you or I would be on the list, right? The angels would be astounded that Jesus is including the likes of you and I on the guest list. He invites us to his table. The gospel speaks to this truth. Jesus says, I'm going to go die on the cross for your sin. He tells his disciples that. And he prepares them for this, and he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised again. And after I am raised, I will go away from you. But where is he going? He says, in my Father's what? In my Father's house are many rooms. And I go and prepare a place for you. If it weren't true, I would have told you. But look, I talk about going to my Father's house. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go away from you, I will bring you to be with me so that where I am, there you may also be. It's an invitation home to God. The gospel is an invitation, ultimately is an invitation home to God. Now, in the biblical world, hospitality was a very practical grace. If you're out traveling in the desert or the near desert where it's rough, where there's no habitation for miles and miles, and if you don't have an oasis, there's no water for your animals or for yourself, all of a sudden, if you run into a nomad with a tent, who's willing to provide you beverage and food and shelter from the wild, that is not simply a nice little thing to do. That's a save your life thing to do. Understand that? By the way, in ancient times, there weren't that many. There weren't Holiday Inn Expresses all over the place. You know that, right? Occasionally, there were inns, but a lot of times there was not. You know this, right? Was there any room at the inn? No. So it kind of comes down to being hosted by folks, particularly if you're not the richest person in the world. It really mattered that folks would be willing to take you in into their home and protect you overnight. This passage from Hebrews, talking about angels being hosted unawares by the folks who were hosting them, refers actually back to a sequence of two things. You read this in Genesis 18 and 19. When three men appear to Abraham and Sarah, you know, out in kind of desert area or certainly not city area, outside of what would now be kind of the rough part of Judea. They show up, and Abraham hosts them. And it turns out that in the midst of these three men is God himself. And the two others are angels. He's hosting them unawares, and it becomes apparent. And you may remember that God promises that Sarah is going to have a child within the next year. And she laughs inside the tent when she's preparing food for them. Y'all remember this story? It's all about hosting. The angels, then move on to Sodom, because the cry of the sin of Sodom has gone up so heavily to God that God himself has come down to make a decision. He talks with Abraham about this before the two angels go down. Then remember what happens when the angels get to Sodom, a really opposite of where Abraham's living. It is a wild and bustling city. It's a party city. And it is famous for its progressive parties and progressive expressions of individual autonomy and expressions of all kinds of things. And the two angels show up, and they are on the verge of being highly abused. Do you remember that story? And what happens? Abraham's nephew, Lot, hosts the two angels and protects them, even as the men of Sodom outside are knocking on the door and saying, "Give us those wonderful folks who just showed up in town." Lot says, "I am hosting them. They are with me." So hospitality involves also an owning of folks and a protection of your calling to protect folks. You understand that? It was a big survival issue in the ancient Near East, which is why even to this day, there are all kinds of sequences with hospitality in the ancient Near East from all cultures. By the way, there's certain rules. There's screening that happens. You pretty much need to have some kind of knowledge of who somebody is. And the standard rule is you got 2 days. You don't stay forever as a random person being hosted showing up. The standard rule is 2 days. But you move over to the New Testament, and hospitality is ratcheted up even further. Hospitality becomes an essential part of the gospel in Jesus' ministry with folks and what he calls us to do. Okay, the term that's used in Hebrews, and by the way, used in Romans also. You ever heard of the term Philadelphia? You should have. There's a city. A big convention just happened in Philadelphia. Anybody know what Philadelphia means? Brotherly love, or love of the brother. That's what it means, right? The term that's used here for showing hospitality to strangers is a different term, a related Greek term, philoxenia. Ever heard of xenophobia, where you're afraid of strangers? This is the opposite of that. The Bible commands us to love strangers and extend hospitality to them. Philoxenia. And then the Bible calls us into action on this. In fact, hospitality is not just a nice thought. It's one of the Christian disciplines, and it's part of the school for character for us to grow spiritually. We are called to extend hospitality in the Bible. New Testament talks about this over and over again, to two main categories of folks: fellow believers, and in particular, in the midst of that, ministry leaders. You may remember this. When Jesus sends out the apostles and then sends out the 70, he says, where they are not hospitable to you, where they're not taking you in and listening to your gospel, what are you supposed to do to them? Anybody remember? Shake the dust off. get out of there if they're not hospitable. It becomes a key criterion of gospel and gospel engagement. And then we're called not only to be hospitable to ministry leaders and fellow Christians, but also to the strangers. The Bible stretches us on this, calls us to open our doors. It's all part of being a good steward. You know, every day you live, the family you have, the house you have, all of these things are a gift from God. And God calls us to be stewards, not only in bringing his tithe into his house, but also in what we do with ourselves, our time, our homes, and our families. Martin Luther lived out this whole hospitality thing. We've been learning over the last few Sundays about his marriage and what he teaches us and what the scripture teaches us about Christian marriage, about having children, and about having family, and also last Sunday's sermon about losing children to death and losing parents to death and how God ushers us through that and ministers to us. Let me remind you that in all of this, not only were 6 children born to Martin Luther and Katie, his wife, 4 of whom lived to adulthood, 2 of whom died. We talked about that last week. Remember 13-year-old Magdalene and her death? Not only that, and not only how we were so touched by how God ministered to Martin Luther in the midst of that and what we learned from that, but also in addition to having these anywhere from 4 to 5 children at one time in their house, the Luthers also at various times took care of Luther's sister's 6 children. So they had their own. They also had 6 more. And on top of that, they adopted 4 more children, the Luthers did. And on top of that, they were basically foster parents for a number of other children. Right now, by the way, the Palmer Home Mission has a major emphasis on foster child care. And I encourage you to find out more about that. We have some of our members who are praying about that and thinking about that right now. It's a possibility of applying this call for hospitality in a really real way. We're called to open our homes and to open our children and our families to the embrace of Christian hospitality. It's spiritual growth. It's a school for character. One thing on Martin Luther. His honeymoon night, Martin Luther and Katie, his new wife, didn't go off for a big trip. They didn't have a destination wedding, by the way. They were just married at Wittenberg. And have you ever seen the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where they move into the old house? Okay, so the Luthers moved into the old Augustinian monastery, which was their wedding present from the Prince of Saxony. They moved into this old monastery, and it's their honeymoon night. And at 11 o'clock, guess who's knocking on the door? Andreas von Karlstadt, the guy who was a friend of Luther's in 15, 17, 18, 19, and 20 and taught with him. But then when Luther had to be hidden off at the Wartburg Castle, this guy turned on Luther and tried to take over the Reformation in Wittenberg, promoted and taught all kinds of things that Luther disagreed with, and split with Luther. Von Karlstadt also went on to promote the Peasants' Revolution, which Luther was against. And in June of 1525, Luther's back home for his honeymoon night. It's 11 o'clock at night, and guess who's knocking at the door? Andreas von Karlstadt. The guy who stabbed him in his back, turned away from him, has been at odds with him for years, but now he's on the run because he's about to be arrested because he's promoted the Peasants' Revolution. What would you do if a guy like that shows up at your door, 11 o'clock your honeymoon night? What would you do, Christian? What do you think Martin Luther did? He took von Karlstadt in, protected him for the next 8 weeks. What happened after that? Well, within the next year, von Karlstadt turned on Luther again and went off teaching his own thing. But Martin Luther, Christian leader, shows us the way of hospitality. In Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, you may remember Jean Valjean, who's been in prison for stealing that bread, you know, to try to feed his family. After years of being identified by just a number, he gets out and he wants to reassert his humanity. I am Jean Valjean. But, you know, nobody else is buying his humanity. He's marked as a former criminal and prisoner. And he has his papers that he has to present to everybody. no one will host him. No one will take Jean Valjean in until he comes to a Monsignor who has become a bishop named, Hugo's pretty obvious about this, right? Bienvenue. Bishop Welcome. Bishop Welcome takes in Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is stunned. You are a holy man. Why are you taking me into your home, Monsieur Curé? And the bishop says to him, you need not tell me who you are. This is not my house. It is the house of Christ. It does not ask any comer whether he has a name, but whether he has an affliction. You are suffering. You are hungry. You are thirsty. Be welcome. Your name is my brother. Oh, that Christians, that we would live that out and teach that to our own families, to our own children. You may remember the story goes on. Valjean steals from the bishop, but the bishop protects him. When Valjean is dragged back by the police to the bishop, he says, oh yes, these were gifts I gave you. And you forget the silver candlesticks. Please take them too. You can sell them also for over 200 francs. 1 Peter 4:9. Above all, keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Jesus says, extend this hospitality to the least, the last, and the lost, and those who are in trouble and cannot repay you. And your reward will be great in heaven. In fact, even as people like von Carlstadt, even as wonderful ministry leaders, even as people who have betrayed us, even as strangers that we don't know come needing help, Jesus says, I'm there in the midst. In fact, turn the pages and you arrive at the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. And in verse 20, we get this message. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If anyone would open his door, if anyone would open her door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Christian, it's not just for Mary Elizabeth. The call and the ministry are for each one of us to open that door and share the good news of our Lord of homecoming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.